Welcome to the Lucky Titan Podcast. Here you will learn how to fill your favorite platform with tons of your dream customers from some of the world's top entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Josh Tapp. Now let's get started. What is up, everybody? Josh Tapp here again, and welcome back to the Lucky Titan. Today, we're here with Michael Levitt. This is going to be a really fun interview because today we're here to really talk about getting rid of burnout and really kind of, in my opinion, getting rid of that haziness, that fogginess that kind of prevents us from reaching that next level in our business. So just to give a little bit of background on Michael, Michael is the host of the Breakfast Leadership Show. It's a phenomenal podcast. Make sure you go check it out. But this guy has worked with a lot of big corporate leaders, helping them to reduce the burnout within their organizations as well. So Michael, say what's up to everybody and we'll hop in.
What's up, everybody? Glad to be here today.
Yeah, we're excited to have you here, Michael. So I want to start this off, Michael, just by asking you, first off, tell us your story about your pivotal moment when you realized that burnout was what was killing you and your company.
Yeah, burnout for me was a pretty significant event back in 2009. For 2 years prior to that, I was a healthcare executive for a startup healthcare organization, and I was working 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. 7 days a week. For 2 years, wasn't taking care of myself. I wasn't eating right. I wasn't getting any exercise because, you know, if you're an executive, you get the great parking spot. So I wasn't getting anywhere near the 10,000 steps a day that you're supposed to get. It just wasn't taking care of myself. I wasn't doing things in life that I enjoyed doing because I was working so many hours that I quit doing things that were beneficial to me. And it all came to a crashing halt in May of 2009, where a period of 369 days changed my life forever. So over a period of a year from May 2009 to May 2010, the following happened to me. I had a heart attack that should have killed me at age 40. 17 weeks later, I lost my job during the Great Recession. Then a few months later, my car was repossessed. And then a month after that, my home was foreclosed. So heart attack, job loss, car repossession, home foreclosure, all in a year. And all those things happened because I was burned out. I was making mistakes at work, wasn't taking care of myself, and it nearly destroyed my life completely. I mean, it pretty much did. And from that moment, I realized I had two choices. Number one, I was alive, which my cardiologist who put the stents in my left anterior descending artery, which has a nickname, it's called the Widowmaker, he told me before he put the stents in, you should be dead right now. You are very lucky to be alive. And I asked him if he skipped bedside manner class in medical school, and he laughed, and we all laughed and had a good time with it. But I knew that I was very fortunate, and I had an opportunity to take stock in how I was living, which I knew at that particular moment was not right, and make the necessary adjustments in my life, and I did. And that's what I did. And I created a life that was free from burnout. Went back into healthcare. My parents wanted to have me committed. I'm like, why are you going back to the field that nearly killed you? Because I knew that I could do a better job. And I did. And I stayed in that career for several years before I went full time with Breakfast Leadership. And I realized as I was healing myself and getting better and all of that, that a lot of my peers were doing the same thing that I did. And it scared me. And I thought, okay, I got to do something about this and warn them because I don't want anybody to have their own year of worst case scenarios. And started talking with them more and more and realized, okay, this is a bigger problem than I thought. And I started researching and went, oh boy, this is not just a healthcare issue. This is a global issue. And I decided, okay, I need to do something about this. So I started researching, writing about it, which led to launching my Breakfast Leadership Show, which led to speaking engagements, which led to writing books, to all the work that I get to do today.
See, and I love that because I think for you, it's that transformational story. First off, it's always fun to hear those and kind of the origin story of why you decided to get into that type of service offering, because I feel like, especially in the corporate world, people look down on burnout, right? It's like, oh no, you're not being tough. Rub some dirt in it, right? but I was really intrigued by your methodology and everything. So I want to ask you this, Michael, what are some of the key indicators for those of us who don't know if we're in burnout that would kind of prove to us that we're in burnout?
Common signs that I see in most people that are burning out is one is their lack of quality sleep. You're just not sleeping well, and you haven't in a long time because the stress that you're under is just keeping you up. You're tossing and turning all night. Another sign that I see, along with the fatigue and being kind of in a fog, as you mentioned at the beginning, you're more forgetful. You don't have clarity. You're making mistakes at work. Another sign often is irritable because you're frustrated with life. You're frustrated with yourself. You're frustrated with every situation. Little things become gigantic things to you because you're just so irritated. And again, you know, similar to what happened with me, you quit doing things in life that you enjoy doing. You're not enjoying those things anymore. And it could be simple things as, you know, going for a bike ride or going golfing. Or in my situation, I was a season ticket holder for the Detroit Tigers. It's pretty easy to go. I already paid for the tickets. I paid for the parking. I had the beer and the food vouchers already paid for. All I had to do was show up, and I quit going because I was just too fatigued and wiped out. And I regret that because I missed. That's when the Tigers were good. You know, they're not so good right now, but they were better back then. But, you know, I can't imagine today, you know, if I had the opportunity to go to a game all the time, I would all the time, but I quit going because I was just completely burned out. So if you're not doing things in life you enjoy doing, and you're using, well, I'm just working too much, might be something deeper than that.
Yeah, and I love all of those indicators. I mean, we're talking your lack of sleep, your fatigue, forgetfulness, irritableness. And it's interesting because all of us have probably seen, as you're talking, some of those signs within ourselves. And in my opinion, burnout, and I'd like to hear your opinion on this, but burnout is something that it's something you manage, you never get rid of it. And for us, it's just realizing, when are you getting to the edge? When are you kind of getting to that tipping point where you're ready to quit?
Yeah, I agree. And you know, burnout is basically prolonged stress. If you don't have prolonged stress, you can't burn out. You can't just go from zero to burnout. It doesn't work that way. It's prolonged stress. You're overwhelmed. You're unable to meet the demands of life. You're fatigued both physically and mentally. And of course, it impacts pretty much every aspect of your life. And if you can control those things and keep them in check, then the likelihood of you burning out are going to be significantly diminished. If you are, of course, in tune with how things are going. We all have busy seasons and the type of work that we do. Sometimes there's busier periods than others. But if it's constant and it just doesn't let up, like in my situation, it was for over 2 years, it never let up, that can really take a toll on you.
Yeah, I completely agree. Well, and for you, Michael, can you walk us through your framework and how you actually help people to get rid of burnout?
Yeah, the first thing I do is I ask people how they're spending their time. And for many of us, we don't really track our time. Yes, we may have appointments on our calendar, but we don't really track how we spend our days. And that is a really good sign on the overwhelm that many of us find ourselves in. With smartphones and technology, we're always connected. And of course, during this pandemic, we're really always connected because we're working from home, or many of us were anyway, and constantly connected with either our clients or, you know, all these other things where we're used to before, maybe go have lunch with somebody. There was built-in breaks and buffers. Well, now with us being homebound all the time, we're constantly looking into cameras and we're doing all the kind of work, and we're not taking those breaks like we were before. So I have people document their time. And again, for me, my original career was public accounting, so easy for me to do so because I was billable. I had to bill every 15 minutes. So I know how to document my time. But the key thing is you have to find time for your self-care and schedule that. Michael Hyatt, you know, the author and former CEO of Thomas Nelson Publishing, has a saying, what gets scheduled gets done. And if you don't schedule your self-care, your well-being time, you're not going to do it. And when people hear self-care, they may think I'm talking about yoga and meditation and moments of Zen. Sure, if that works for you, awesome, go ahead and do it. Self-care is also doing things in life you enjoy doing, like golfing, or, you know, going on nature trail hikes, or going for a drive, or going on trips, or going to concert, or going out to dinner, watching Netflix. That's self-care. If you enjoy it and it brings you joy and fulfillment, do it. But schedule it, because when you do that, then you are guaranteeing that you are making your life a little bit more harmonious than it is now, instead of just all work. And another pro tip that I like giving people is for that self-care time or that me time, pick your favorite color. And it doesn't matter if you're using an electronic calendar or a paper one, color code it with your favorite color. And the reason why you want to use your favorite color for that is your brain is naturally attracted to see that color. So you can look at your calendar and you can see how you're spending your time. If you don't see enough of your favorite color, you know you need to make an adjustment. And you can look back a couple of weeks or look ahead a couple of weeks or even this week and you go, okay, I'm not seeing my favorite color. Okay, what can I do to adjust that? And again, it's an ebb and flow kind of thing. People hear the phrase work-life balance. Not possible. Work-life balance is trying to stand an egg up on its thing and make sure it doesn't tip to the side. It won't, unless you use some kind of prop to do it. It's going to tip. You can't balance an egg, just like balancing life. It's going to ebb and flow. There's going to be days that are going to flow easier than others. But eventually, once you get in tune with how your energy levels are and how you schedule your time, it's going to help you have a little bit more harmonious life and also give you the elbow room for opportunities. And as entrepreneurs, we often miss opportunities because we're so busy and focused on what we're doing. We drive right by something that could actually grow your business 10x, 100x, who knows? If we're too busy, we may not see that opportunity.
I love that. And you just gave so many good nuggets right there. And I hope people took advantage of that. Go back and listen to it, take some notes, because I love the color coding idea. I think that really gives, like you said, it gives you a reason to want to do it subconsciously, let alone, you know, in the physical world. So I want to ask you this too. What do you feel about overdoing those things? Like, how do you feel about overdoing the self-care? I know for myself. So for me, I had a guest on here a long time ago and they were talking about this concept of self-care and that, you know, for me, working out and yoga and things like that, or yoga, especially that kind of stuff, was not calming to me, and it just made me frustrated. Working out is something I like to do. It's not something I love to do, but going and playing a sport with some friends, absolutely, I could do that all day, every day. But the problem I see with myself is sometimes I slip into the habit where I spend too much time doing those things. So walk us through that.
You know, that's perfect. You know, especially if you're an entrepreneur or business and you've got goals and things you want to accomplish, you know, my favorite color is blue, even though here I am in all black, I like blue. So if I look at my calendar and I see, you know, a week that is really loaded in blue, if it's a vacation week, I get it. But if it's a week where I'm looking at it going, okay, well, I'm taking a lot of time off here. Do I need it? You know, check with yourself, see what your energy levels feel like. How do you feel? You know, are you rested? Are you getting good sleep? Have you been eating, you know, the right foods for you, so you're not feeling bloated or, you know, run down or things like that? And if you are and everything feels good, then you have to check yourself and say, okay, why am I desiring this? Is there hobbies or tasks or things I need to get done and I'm procrastinating on those? Why? You know, as Brian Tracy told us many years ago, eat that frog first. You know, if there's something that's on your to-do list as an entrepreneur, business owner, and you've been putting something off and you've got the time to do it, get it done or delegate it, but get it done because it's hanging over you and you're thinking about it constantly. You're like, oh yeah, I should do that. But then something comes up and you say, okay, you know, I'm going to go play a game, you know, pick a basketball, or, you know, I'm going to go, you know, golfing with my buddies or whatever the case may be. And there's nothing wrong with that. But again, going back to the work-life harmony, you have to harmonize what you're doing. You know, from a work standpoint, your business, your growth, your plans and goals, and keeping them in alignment.
Yeah. And I love that because you do have to kind of, like you said, it's the ebb and flow. You have to keep track of where you're at. And I love this conversation because I used to think so black and white when it came to this stuff. You know, it's like, well, I'm either burnt out or I'm living life. And it's just not the case. You know, it is a constant thing. You have to check yourself. And how frequently do you personally recommend that people look at where they're at, analyze it and plan?
At minimum monthly, if better at the end of the week, you know, look at your week, you know, looked at what the things were accomplished, what, you know, what things went well, what things didn't, you know, have a debrief with yourself, but do it in a non-judgmental way because we are our own worst judges. We can beat ourselves up. It's like, oh, I didn't get that done again this week, or wow, I really screwed up that client call, or I didn't land that client deal because I wasn't prepared or the presentation didn't look right. Well, you know, those things are going to happen. You're not going to you're not going to hit 1,000. You know, Ted Williams, you know, hit, you know, a little over 400, you know, for off and on during his career. So that means, you know, 5 to 6 or 7 times out of 10, he did not get a hit. He's in the Hall of Fame. You know, a lot of people are. So think about those stats. So again, you know, figure out, you know, what works for you and set up systems and a rhythm and understand where things are. You know, another thing that I do with my schedule for me, and everybody can do this, even if they're working for somebody else, but especially as a business owner, you have control over your schedule. You can dictate when you do things. And for me, I know when my energy levels are good and when they're not as high as they could be. So I design my work days that way. Or for me, you know, the mornings tend to be task driven, anything that I'm working on. The afternoons tend to be more meetings, conversations, follow-ups, that type of stuff. And each day of the week, I have themes of when I do things. It's good for me because that way your brain is not doing these hard turns for different tasks that aren't somewhat related. And when you can do that, your brain's already ready because you're in the flow of doing the work you're doing. So you're like, okay, the next project, I'm going to do this. Okay, now I'm going to do this. And it's not this hard, you know, 15 different directions, which tire us out and stress us up because we're literally using different brain power to do certain tasks. If you're doing the same type of thing throughout a particular day, it makes it easier on you. So you're less fatigued when you do that.
Yeah, I love that. Well, and I want to flip the tables here a little bit, especially because this is really your area of expertise. How is this different when you're dealing with your employees, for example? Because almost everybody listening to this has at least one person working for them. Right. How do you help somebody else accomplish this? Because that seems to be where you really shine.
Yeah, that's a big thing because employees, doesn't matter if it's one employee or a team of 10 or 100 or 1,000 or even larger, they tend to emulate their leaders. You know, what are the leaders doing? Are leaders sending emails at nights and weekends? Are they working 60, 70 hour weeks? Well, the employees then will say, oh, I guess I have to do that too. And that's not healthy. Even, you know, within the last couple of weeks, the World Health Organization released a stat from 2016 data that indicated globally over 700,000 people die every year. And I'm guessing that number now is probably closer to 1 million every year, but over 750,000 people die every year of heart disease or a stroke because they work more than 55 hours a week. That's the common element. And we know from a productivity standpoint, in an 8-hour day, the productivity that we get even out of the best of us, maybe half of those 8 hours. So working an extra 8 hours every day, you're not getting 16 hours of productivity. You're not even getting 8. You might get 5 or 6. So what's happening the other 13? Interruptions, lack of clarity, system design flaws, a variety of different things. So we could talk for a month about all of those. But ultimately, what you want to do is an employee, you want to make sure that they have all the tools that they need to do their job, that they can access you when you need them, and then you get out of their way. You hired them to do a job. Let them do the job. Don't micromanage, because that means you're taking your time directing that person more than you need to. And just make sure they have the right training, the right tools, clarity on what they need to do, and let them do their job. And sometimes, especially new leaders, struggle with that because they're not good at delegation. I know I was horrible at it, but now the pendulum has swung completely the other way, where anything that lands on my desk, I go, okay, who besides me could work on this? And if I can delegate it, I will. But another thing that's really important so you don't burn out your team is you need a way to track of what you've delegated, because often we forget. We say, okay, here, I'm going to give this to Susie. And the next thing you know, Susie's working 60 hour weeks. And you're like, why is she working so much? What's going on? And then you look at all the work you delegated to her and you're like, oh boy, that's a problem. So you have to keep in check what you've delegated and make sure that it's manageable and achievable by your team so they can be successful. Because if your employees are successful, your organization will be successful. And it's simple, but much like, you know, the work-life harmony and preventing burnout, it's an ongoing thing. It's not a set it and forget it type of thing.
Love that. learn the tools, teach the tools, get out of their way. Yep. Beautiful. Well, Michael, you know, we've covered a lot of different topics today, and I hope everybody got some really rock solid nuggets when it comes to avoiding burnout and managing that stress that you can't, you don't have to be to the point where you were at during that 369 day, I guess would say hell experience. But I want to ask you this. First off, where can people get access to you?
Breakfastleadership.com is the best place to find me.
Love it. So everybody, make sure you go visit breakfastleadership.com. Also, go check out his podcast, The Breakfast Leadership Show. It's on all of the platforms. Make sure you go look at that, leave a review, rate it, give him a 5-star. This guy has amazing content. So Michael, just to kind of wrap this up for us with one beautiful bow, could you leave us with one final parting piece of guidance for our audience?
We need to quit living life like we're trying to squeeze 24 ounces of ketchup out of a 16-ounce bottle. It's impossible. We're trying to give more than we have. So we have to make sure that we take care of ourselves first, because if we do that, then the work that we do, the opportunities that we have in life are going to be so much richer and more fulfilling if we take care of ourselves first.
I hope that you enjoyed this episode of the Lucky Titan Podcast. If you want to fill your favorite platform with dream customers, then come join myself and thousands of others of hosts at theluckytitan.com/tribe. Here you can find guests for your show, get featured on other shows, and discover the secrets to building an audience of raving fans. So once again, go create your free account at theluckytitan.com/tribe.